get cold. Let her, why don't you let her get her sleigh last?
All right, well, that's an idea.
I think there's some gravy coming in.
Mine just didn't come out now, quite right timing.
You did fine. Is there some gravy coming? Are you ready to start?
Gene, is there a gravy bowl coming?
Bill made this yesterday.
Is there a bowl of gravy coming?
A small bowl.
The youngest person I know.
This is for Tommy?
Tommy, let me give him a little more then.
Roast beef, so.
We're going to start things this way.
I thought the party the other night was about as nice as we've ever had.
Well, I'm glad.
It turned off better. I like the best thing, you know, when I went to our zombie village, which I didn't enjoy nearly so much.
No, they haven't had it this way.
No, well,
let's
right.
pass it down this way.
That
is, I like the Alaska man.
I don't wear my nugget, but as you hear, but I'm going to wear my big suit from Vegas because it's the biggest one Mr. Jenner had ever made.
I was stuck in
you know, I love the Klondike. You've got to bear in mind that while I adore Fairbanks, there's no place in Alaska that I love as much as Fairbanks. I love Fairbanks.
Well, yeah, Art here was saying that you spent 7 years there. Did you live there during the winter and as well as the summer? Huh?
I still hold two flavors there.
Yeah.
And I love it.
But of course, Fairbanks is the...
I love it.
Yeah, you come from Douglas.
And Douglas.
Well, you know, my uncle, John Kilbuck's family lived down around there years ago.
What's the name now?
Kilbuck, John Kilbuck.
Boy, it must have been before my time.
Oh, yes,
the Kilbuck Mountains are named after him.
Yes.
That's how far back he is in the 1880s.
Oh, no, that's before your time.
Well, there's a range of mountains on the western part of Alaska called the Kilbuck Mountains. Named after
him. Where did you grow up?
Douglas. Douglas is my hometown.
Do you know
Roberta Fraser.
Roberta
Fraser. Was Roberta still there when you were there? Yeah. And then her sister May came up.
I didn't know May.
Yeah, well, if you knew Roberta.
Roberta was a beautiful girl. Have you ever been to Nome, Elizabeth?
I've lived.
He's never been to Nome.
Oh.
That's the only advantage I have over
you. I've been to a few places you haven't been. I was born in Nushagak River. I lived in Valdez. I lived in even Kodiak for a short time for Seward, Anchorage, Fairbanks, Dawson, and Nenana. Now that's a big spread. But I didn't make Nome.
Well, you know, I didn't get there until 2 years ago to the Pioneer Convention. I got over there. And it's quite a town.
Does Jean have Yorkshire pudding down there?
No, she has no.
Let's give her some.
I got to have more salt. They tell me I'm done.
Let me clue you in for Nome here. The official population of Nome is something like 1600.
Well,
of which about 40%, more than 40%, are school age or preschool age.
But I can tell you, my birthplace is
and the town supports 11 bars.
Oh, they're thick on the main line.
And how is it supported? Taxpayers' money and the family starved to death.
I wouldn't remember that.
Eskimos spend all their money in the bars. And there are only about three of those bars that you white man dare goes in.
Well, the Board of Trade is quite nice.
It depends on the time of the night that you go.
Maybe I went in early enough.
Well, I've lived in Nome. Maybe.
Isn't it a rough and going town?
I've lived in Nome on three occasions for 3 months or more.
No, I've lost a lot of weight since you saw me.
I think so. Art, when did you first go to Nome? About in the
20s? You know, that letter I gave you the other night.
The first time I was in Nome was...
Yeah. Oh, don't worry about
me. Don't worry at all. Well, I need to say, he's dead, but you know what? But I have some absolutely fantastic letters from Les Marchand.
Well, we better clean those up. Leslie finally decided to get married.
Oh, I know all about it.
Oh, yeah. First time I was in
Nome. I don't know all about it.
He went with you, and he went with Florence.
Oh, I think he went with, let me see, who else is there? Dorothy. Dorothy Young, I think Dorothy Young, I think that was one of his.
I knew it was something.
Really? He was the most lonely, heartbreakingly lonely people.
Isn't that sad?
He was at the time.
So you marry somebody, you know.
I've never been to Nome.
Who are you talking about?
Our guest of honor.
I'm flattered beyond words. But then I'll put my words in print, and maybe we hope it turns out all right. Thank you very much, Florence. Well, nobody enjoys those articles more than I enjoy writing them. I hope it's obvious. I enjoy writing them. I really do.
That's the best Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It didn't look as pretty as usual.
Very good.
Now listen, you just sit down.
I sure did on that. Here's an add-on to me, you know, where the dog comes to take
over. Where do you live in?
He's interested in the roast beef, and then they come along by and buy some kind of...
I'm near the Willow.
Dog saying that his dinner is not going to be done until after all.
The house is based on the house in Gulfport.
That's a very nice section.
We're on Central Avenue.
You were asking me how I felt about the house disappearing. What would you have done with it?
What are you talking about?
Judge Bell's house.
Yeah.
I could have done something better than
Well, it had to be moved. It was, you know, sitting out there right on the main turn.
You couldn't have the whole falling apart. No, it's sitting in the...
Wonderful. I know, I don't mean that.
There was no great architectural...
But it seems a shame the first home of the president should be. Now, when I was there a year ago, and Carol lived right next door, but they were carrying on a fantastic Peyton Place romance between that, your father's old home, and the people that lived upstairs. And somehow it just desecrated even worse than you think.
Boy, I lived off campus for 5 years. I wish that maybe they'll move me back on. Yeah. But this is the first time I've thought of it.
I thought of that.
But your suggestion, you know, your mention
you
of the house.
You ever run into a friend of Tommy's?
It wasn't so long ago when someone said, Bill, we were sorry to see you leave the campus. We always felt that you'd wind up in Dr. Monell's house.
Somebody should go and leave them there.
Somebody that would appreciate, you know, and had a little sense of the history of the campus, you know. And I said, well, I never entered my mind.
And I think it should be set aside as a separate house and occupied.
Very nice. If you go back again, lucky him.
Of course, when they got it built. They spent what was a lot for Fairbanks.
I was always concerned.
There still wasn't very much. And then, and you know, so the Sturgills lived in it the first
year. I was way back.
And I remember, I think it was Jeanette Clark, somebody's classic remark said that. She had funny. So they put the janitor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That house was built for a janitor. Anyway. No.
Jim, when was the house built? Do you recall? You must have lived in town. Now, where was your home in town?
All my business.
Answer me that.
Eighth and Lacey.
Now, someone said that the other day. And is the house still there, as far as you know?
Eighth and Lacey was 2 years ago.
Eighth and Lacey, and you lived in the house of Mark.
I was 45 Main.
No, Kitty Corner.
Kitty Corner. Well, I shall write back. We lived big
and.
They
the Abbeys.
Remember
the Abbey?
Oh,
I lived right across.
Yes, Woodbury Abbey.
Markham's Woodbury Abbey. Markham's Kitty Corner.
You remember Mrs. Markham, don't you?
Oh, yes.
The Markhams were in there.
I didn't know, but I did later.
Well, I'll tell you. She tickled me. I ran into her one time down in Beauty Parlor.
Really?
And she looked at me with those cross eyes of hers. You know, I couldn't tell which eyes she was looking at me with, but I paid attention anyway. And she said, Elizabeth. One of these days, she said, I'm going to give a bridge party, and you're going to be the first person I ask. And I said, well, I'll be glad to come. You know, honest to God, Gene, I got to think of the bottom of you. You couldn't say no to the mayor's wife. Of course I'd have gone. Of course, she never did it.
I couldn't have said no to her anyway, because she was a very kind person.
I liked her. She was always wonderful to me.
Nice. She was so good to all the kids in the neighborhood.
I had some wonderful friends amongst the old fours, you know. There was some wonderful women amongst the old plus, too.
I had another one that I
didn't know. Edith Neal was a great favorite of mine.
Really?
How far off?
A very close, good friend of mine.
Real close. It's in the bay.
And French Camille, you know, she was there for years.
How did you get to know all of them?
Well, you see, Dad was their doctor, and I did their lab work.
Has been for 20 years.
So
they all knew me.
It happened that he held the bed all right and drove it.
Do you remember Mrs. Carter?
You mean she had been married to somebody named Carter?
First time.
Nope, this was in my very early days. I was about 6 years old, seven.
My time.
You were five, I don't know.
You were in high school, just about going into high school when I got there.
And has done very well.
Were both of you, I was going to ask, were both of you or either of you there when President Harding came
to town? Yes, indeed.
Well, have you any reminiscences of that occasion?
Oh, have I.
Bless your heart. I'd like to get some reminiscences of the Harding.
I've got a lot of pictures of that.
Yeah.
The night that he was coming into town by train, they sent a message ahead from Curry asking if there was a laboratory technician in town.
Mm-hmm. An American.
Of course, I was. I'm the only one, you know, the only one in the territory.
For
years.
So by the name of Collins,
he requested that I meet the train.
Mind the public.
Mrs. Harding
very
had
well
one kidney.
Public.
And
then he started out.
He was never got a secret to know. And she had to have continuous urinalysis made.
He was indicted by the government.
Watch this condition.
So you were right in the front row.
So I was called to the depot officially. So I went down. I went right up to Dad's office and did the urinalysis. The next morning, they were staying at the Nordic. The next morning, Dr. Doyle Thompson Boone was a commander in the Navy at that time and was one of the physicians. Grayson. No, the other one was named again with an S. I remember all these people. Anyway, you were in a small town, and you know, the President of the United States, it was just like, yeah, I mean, so you were that close physically.
And
yeah.
So they got
anyway,
very well.
Joel Thompson Boone came over to the office and did,
very limited.
He and I did the urinalysis together, and during the conversation, it was uncovered that he not only graduated from the same medical school as my father, but had the same preceptor.
Geophysics.
So we had this little common. So then he wanted me to go over to the hotel, and we had an invitation to go over and meet the President, Mrs. Harding, but by this time I'd gone out on the creeks with Ruth Barrack, and it was not available. Then if you were not there, you won't remember that they had a sudden call that they must leave Fairbanks immediately, not stay overnight, they must return and get on board ship.
So
I rushed in from the creeks and got to the depot just before the train was to leave. Dr. Boone, Commander Boone, came off the train, put his arm around my shoulder, and he said, come through, the President would like to meet you. So I stepped through all the Secret Service men.
Bill Paxton, would you like them? Were they pretty well guarded?
Oh, yes.
No, I'm doing fine, thanks.
And he took me over to the platform, and the president stepped down off of the platform, put his arm around my shoulder, and he said, thank you for everything you've done for my life. Then I have letters from Boone. He recommended several laboratory tests and so forth. We had the common bond of having had the same preceptor, sleeping in the same room where my father was and all this. But I can't remember the name of the army man. He was a little shrimp. His name began with S, and he was in one of the high.
Sims?
Was I know it, though. I know it so well.
Yeah.
But anyway, they stayed shorter time than I expected to. And then, of course, you remember, he came out here and died right in San Francisco.
Yeah. Right.
He's getting his master now.
And this was quite a scandal, too, wasn't it?
Well, a lot of people thought that she poisoned him, which was not a relationship.
Yeah. Well, that was the time of the Teapot Dome scandals were breaking and all this, you know. Mm-hmm. They didn't know whether he should get back to Washington or whether he wanted to get back there, you know.
And how about he?
Did you read the book that was written about him?
Yeah, the scandal or the thing of the what Grove, huh? No, it intrigued me. Wasn't that something?
Pathetic, that man was a victim of
his own. Victim
of his friends.
That's right.
Well, he was not only that, but he was a victim of a slanderous talk that was never proven.
Never talked. And yet it was a cloud that hung over him, apparently through his life.
And it wasn't keeping up with the. It wasn't the fact that he's supposed to have had a daughter. There's no secret about the fact that he had this daughter. Of course, Mrs. Harding claimed that he was impotent and sterile and God knows what to try to squelch him.
Gravy, if you'll have
I never heard of that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But no, the thing that ruined him was somebody whispered the fact that he was supposed to have Negro blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just like Art Hoppe said in his show, it's very generous. All you have to do is start one first rumor like that.
I never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
And it will ruin the whole book.
This is why I'm trying to remember.
I'm trying to remember the full title. What was it? The mystery or the scandal or the secret or something? Some kind of grove?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Harmless,
I have it.
I read it.
Bill, you're younger than I am. You know all these things, and I don't know any of them. What's the matter with me?
I'm a mathematician, and a mathematician is a historian. And
the shadow of something.
I majored in math because I figured that was the best subject.
General Plum Jam.
Fundamentally, I love history
and the bread. The reason we don't have any rolls is that Phil makes homemade fresh bread.
Digress very much indeed. Elizabeth had an auction sale with the
Still moves.
And she may stay there for Christmas.
I can't even tell you the name, but she can.
Well, this is the way history should be written. It should be written for the fascination of it, rather than the dull dates and facts.
The limited edition.
The French Immortals, which one do you mean?
That's literature, not history.
What do you mean?
Covered in ink.
Oh, I don't recall. They're magnificent. I bought those.
You can even have bread under if you like
for the boys, for their libraries, for the bindings.
She bought them for the bindings.
Oh. But there was something in between.
You could pick up any volume of those things and read it
just
like a
whodunit.
It's the best presentation of history I have ever seen.
It's fantastic.
What is that?
A set of volume of history of the world that Elizabeth picked up somewhere along the road.
Now, come on, I bid those in.
I told him you got them from some.
The man that was bidding against me. I finally turned around to take a look at him, and he looked like he was at least a millionaire. He could have gone on bidding till doomsday.
He didn't really want them.
He wanted them. Oh, he did. He was a gentleman, and he finally nodded to Mr. Rich, and he said, "Let her have them. I think she loves them."
Really?
And I paid exactly. I figured that I paid about $2.95 a volume for them, and the bindings are absolutely exquisite.
Mm.
And they're all limited, numbered editions.
One set has only its
duplicate in the British Museum.
Is that right? Oh,
my word.
Rare indeed.
Oh,
rare indeed.
Dorothy would love to have those.
I think the university would like to
And then I got the, then I got the full set of, then I got the full set, magnificently bound of, who's our famous Jewish prime minister?
Israeli?
Israeli. Lord
Beaconsfield.
Lord Beaconsfield. And they're beautiful.
I don't know him. Have a hazardous course here.
I'll have a little touch there. Bill?
I wish I had a house. Where I can get all my books. I have thousands of books. And I haven't even seen Dorothy's the one girl that went to the
You
first want to
get them around the fireplace on a real rainy night
and
have three rolls for your machine.
We'd look at them.
And you'd learn a great deal.
Oh, I know. Don't look at me, Fran.
I never saw you before in my life.
What angle are you going to write your book from? Historical, philosophy, or war?
Haven't decided.
Well, you know.
You read my corner?
Listen, dear.
It's going to be so different from a corner, but only interspersed.
Do you remember the day we were doing an exam in botany, and Jewel and I got done ahead of time? So somebody conceived the happy idea that if they whistled the Merry Widow, why, we'd dance. And so Jewel and I got up and waltzed. And we were waltzing around this gear and the douche, you know, and open the door opens, and here's Mr. Morgan standing there, the professor, you know, God knows how long he's been watching us. We were just waltzing around the room having a marvelous time. Oh, Jewel was on
the joy. You should have flung the whole bunch of
them. No question about that.
He has a different humor than Art and Ted.
He's a marvelous fellow.
They
were all wonderful.
Are they all there?
Jewel was somehow
Are they?
Yes. You must go.
Well, I know they want me there.
Why?
Well, of course they want me there.
You have more stories, Bill, up there.
Oh, I know it.
Ask Jewel about the day he caught on fire. He was doing an experiment in organic chemistry at his table, and I was right across the aisle of mine.
I like everything.
Gone up to find something. We locked our food and everything in the drawer. I swiped our food. See, and I had gone up this much now to go into the drawer where I kept my food. And I unlocked the drawer to reach in, and I turned like this, and Jewel was just a candle from his waist up. And he had an apron of some kind on, and he beat himself, and I took my sweater off and wrapped it completely around him. We took him down to the judge's office and treated him with what we had in the way of burn. He didn't even have scarring. He didn't have even a burn of any dimension. But I'll never forget seeing him as I turned. He just looked like a human flame.
What happened, Elizabeth?
He was doing an experiment.
Yeah.
And something
exploded.
No, I'm not going to get back from
that. But he did have the great sense to, and he was big, you know. And I forgot, in those days we wore sloppy sweaters. And I ripped off my sweater and wrapped it around.
Oh, you like judging
it
too.
This was a chemistry lab, was it?
In the S.
Yeah.
He was doing something inorganic. This was a new, you remember the building was new. It was just finished, barely in time for us to go in to do our lab work.
And
he just happened to be doing something at all
hours.
Oh,
I love that.
There was no one supposed
chemistry.
To.
That was a wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure it would have been with Bruce.
Was that
fun?
Bruce,
fun.
Yeah,
Professor Bruce.
Oh, it was
what
the
year
best
was that?
Teacher we ever had.
What,
he was
what,
a great
oh,
teacher.
Oh, that was in
1923-24. He left.
23?
No.
No.
He went in. He stayed just 2 years. He went
I mean,
in 22, went in 23,
no,
and left that following spring.
Herbert Bruce.
Herbert Bruce.
He was the most marvelous.
He's the best teacher that ever drew breath in
life. I've heard a lot of people say that. Some beef? Can I give you a slice?
Lots more dinner here. How about
no, 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 no. I'm just...
Anybody. We'd do anything for Bruce.
Yeah. I wonder, he's still living, huh?
He's around here somewhere.
Is he?
The guy had a great deal to our evening.
I wonder if he didn't come up.
You know what he does, sir?
I think he's retired by now, I'm sure. Long ago.
Has he? Yeah. He told me anyway.
Oh, you saw him?
No, Marty, not trying to let him. But his wife does work at the university in the botanical gardens.
You know your niece is Farley, my daughter.
She's still active.
University of what?
No, no.
California?
I would love to see you.
There was some former chemistry professor that came up and visited us on a tour many years ago. I would say about 6 or 7 years ago. It may well have been him, but I
Hood was the next one.
Hood was the man.
He was enough to turn me off. I was going to major in chemistry, but
Hood was the one I read.
He was brilliant. He may have been brilliant. He didn't have
He was, but he had a very rough personality.
He reminds me of Wally Cox.
Professorial, huh?
Very quiet.
Oh, really? Self-effacing.
Somebody would get up and make it really just an absolutely asinine answer, you know, and then he'd say, don't laugh.
Oh.
I can see just how they figured that.
Mm-hmm.
He was infinitely kind. Do you remember that?
Oh.
Bruce.
Oh, he was.
Mm-hmm. We could make a silly answer, but he would somehow smooth it over.
Yeah.
He was And we all ate out of his hand.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
He was a terrific teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous.
I think the best I ever had.
The only other teacher I ever had that was as good as Bruce, and I was quite a student a long time ago, was Mrs. Troy, the governor's wife in Alaska, which she taught me in the 9th and 10th grade.
What was her maiden name now?
Roman?
Do you remember Dr. Roman?
Oh, I know J.H., sure. And I know Howard very well.
You didn't know her dad, did you?
Well, I met him. He was still practicing with Howard, you see, in Anchorage when I went there in 37.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, very much so, yeah. And he was a railroad doctor there before then, yeah.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, 37, yeah. But he and Howard were practicing.
He didn't leave
that when I was 45. And your older brother in the insurance, I knew him too. Yeah, he passed away. Yeah. But I saw Howard not so long ago.
Howard is just like the church.
Is he back? Is he still practicing? Last I heard.
Sure he is.
Of course, for a while he quit it, you know. He was going to. Well, he was going to go down and be a kind of homesteader or something down at Kenai.
Live in his cabin at Kenai Lake.
That's right. He was going to be a bush pilot and hunting guide or what damn whatever. Yeah, sure. What's that? No, I didn't know that.
Graduated from high school when we were seniors sitting in the room. Howard helped his dad take out an appendix at one point. I suppose he did all the time.
While he was still in school?
He brought it in a test tube and he sat right across the aisle.
No fooling.
And handed it to me, expecting to get a shriek.
Yeah, he would. He would.
Just like Howard.
It didn't bother me too much, because I thought it was quite interesting. Even in the old days, without all the modern equipment.
The only trouble was that it took a lot more skill to be a good doctor in those days than it does now. They have much more finer education now.
Yeah.
But anyway,
they have more antibiotics now.
Yes,
I used to watch him operate.
Dorothy wanted to come down and see him.
You never, many times.
Well, I'm sure.
How did you get into that, Elizabeth? Did you just work with your father and kind of a?
Dad wanted me to be there. That's how I went to Hopkins. Dad wanted to be a nurse, and I didn't want to be a nurse. I was already a technician, but he persuaded me to go to Hopkins. That's when I left the university and went back to Johns Hopkins. Where Dr. Howard Kelly got me, ahead of about 20 girls, and I should have stayed, but you know, I just
wish I were nearer.
So I went back to my lab work, and then I went to Rochester to the Mayo Clinic and did some more work there, and then I came back to Fairbanks. And pursued even long after I was married, I went down to the Anchorage. I opened the first lab I had in Anchorage.
You did.
Is that? Well, that was the old government hospital down at the railroad.
The old government, too.
It was.
I mean, the lab.
How long were you there, Elizabeth? When did you leave?
Oh, let me see. There were some other places I have to think of. I went back to Anchorage after my airplane accident when I was smashed up in. Then I went down to that fall, 1925, and they took this beautiful lab. I stayed about a year and a half, and then of course Dad went back to Fairbanks, and he always wanted to be with me, so I dropped my work in Anchorage and went back to Fairbanks. Then that, I had a blind date with Art tonight.
Art never attended college.
No, but he played basketball out there.
Were you a basketball player?
I don't know what that.
Definitely not. No, I was working for FE Company.
Oh, you came up with the FE Company.
Yeah.
And she was working
on a blind date.
Blind date.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what they say, you know.
Who arranged
love is blind.
That's one of the most charming things in Marty's book, is where she tells the episode of calling cards.
Yeah.
The custom in Fairbanks of using calling cards.
Yeah.
You always left one card of your own in your room.
The senior.
That's the woman who she used to go on. I wonder if she was custom dead by then. She couldn't
have been. Was her name, so that wasn't sure doing any harm.
No, she was. You don't hear it.
You've had your dinner over there, my friend.
She comes over to you. Andrea,
I know I'm Baker Brett.
Andrea. Let me see. Is she the older?
No, she's the younger.
Well, it's
Octavia's
there. Back in the jungle in Columbia.
All right. Octavia, of course, married Hanson, and they're living in Anchorage, and he's a banker.
Did
she
only marry
once? Yeah, but the second one now, I mean, it's Andrea. Now, she was married to Dave West first, and Dave West is an insurance man. He was a pilot up there, apparently, in the First World War, or the Second World War. And they built, they had the home, that, and we bought from the West. I bought the house from Dave and Andrea West 6 years ago. Weeks Field. They bought a house over in Weeks Field, nice 1027 Gilmore Street, and we bought the house from them when they were separating. They were breaking up 6 years ago, and they put the house up for sale, and Ellen and I decided that that was the house we wanted.
Well, where was that house with respect to Ruth Barrett's house and Davis' house?
Well, just the extension. End of Carl Street is Weeksfield. And that's where, and they were one of the early houses out there, this house that we were in. But we bought it, we took over the mortgage and all, and we bought the house from the West.
That would be Andrea.
That's Andrea. Now, someone tells me that she went out and got, she had a string of five kids.
I didn't know that. See, I got away from that when I went to Dawson. And I kind of lost
her. Yeah, I think so. Now, someone tells me that she's remarried, and I think back in Anchorage. Of course, Octavia's in Anchorage. Somebody told me recently, but I'm not sure. This I'm not sure of. I don't really know.
How long has Harry been dead now?
Quite a long time.
Yeah, he died Phoenix or something.
10 years ago, anyway. Yeah. Did he? Yeah.
Very
yeah, those are the sad kids.
Yes, really. Very sad when his mother died. She was a very difficult old girl, but I like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's the one that raised our blind date.
That's interesting.
And then she made her daughter very unhappy by announcing out before God and everybody that she arranged that church party with no idea that I would go to the heart, that I would start going again with Harry. She said, of course, you know very well, so that I didn't want to marry out. I wanted to marry Harry. Well, you can imagine. She didn't like her anyway. She didn't like her anyway. Helen didn't have to worry because she was as safe as if she was in God's arms. Oh, Mary, so nice. Yeah, I was knocking her down. All the girls that didn't have were cross-eyed or had six toes had all sorts of chances to marry, you know. That was no problem.
No, nothing.
You didn't have to be beautiful or anything else. They were just all over the place.
What prompted you to go? Were you living in Fairbanks when the college started, or when you started the school?
When I went out first to pick up my lab work, I came back with the idea of going with my father into Fairbanks. That was in April of 1922.
Now, did you come out from Bethel or from Anchorage?
No. I lived all over the territory.
Yeah.
No, I went out from Anchorage. To Seattle for my training.
Now this was about 1920.
1920.
Yeah.
So then my father wrote me and said that he had been sent to Fairbanks.
Now he was a government, the railroad doctor, chief of staff.
Well, anyway, he was one of these people who always thought that you would drop whatever you were doing and do something immediately. So he wired me in Seattle and told me, it seems to me it was in the early morning, that I was to be aboard the Victoria that night at 5 o'clock.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I had to run out to the academy where I had my room and my clothes, out to where the Lucases lived and get the rest of my things and get aboard that ship, and I did. And that was in April of 1922, and I went in. Now, that's the fall the college opened. But that's the year that the American Bridge Company built the big bridge at the Nanon, across the railroad bridge across the river. And one stipulation that they always made was that there must be a doctor there when the bridge is built. So we transferred Dad to the Nanon. And, of course, instead of allowing me to go into the university, which I was wanting to go with the first
you'd
class,
have been with the first class. Yes. Yeah.
He took me back to Seattle. We returned to Fairbanks, and so in 1923, I was able to go to the second class.
I see.
But I should have been in the first class.
Yeah.
It was just because my father...
Well, the bridge then was completed.
But the bridge really had nothing to do with it. Just the fact that my father was old-fashioned and thought that the women, their education was a thing of secondary importance.
Yeah.
And so the important thing he thought was to have me there. As much as I loved him, as close as we were, he was selfish. I should have gone in. And of course, Judge Bunnell had known me practically all of my life.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Since I was a little girl, 3 years old, and he came to my office first.
Have you been in Valdez, too?
As a child. I was with my mother and dad.
Yeah. But your dad came to Alaska as a Moravian missionary, medical missionary. Didn't he go to Bethel first? And then
we were born. The three older ones were born.
Yeah.
Then we went from there to Bristol Bay. In 1905, we came out and he went into practice in San Francisco. And fired his wife. He lost everything.
Oh, I didn't know that you'd go back out.
Then we left San Francisco and went back. But in the meantime, I had made two trips out by sailing ship and had come through the Golden Gate on a sailing ship. There aren't many people that have done that. But anyway, then after the fire, we went back to the Bristol Bay. And in 1909, we went back to Seward. Then I went out to school. After I finished school in Seattle, I went to work for the railroad.
I see.
Then I went out and took my degree. Then I came into Fairbanks. And then I lived in Fairbanks. Most of the time from that time.
How long did you attend, Elizabeth?
I attended the full year. Started my second year. And of course, I was very proud of my course I had lined up the second year because I had a decent degree. I had something like six extra hours. I was very happy. But my father did win the Johns Hopkins, so I did. Then when I came back, I took up a lot of special courses. I took many extra hours in English, various things. I took up weaving, one thing or another. So I kept going. But of course, I got married in 1927, so
Took a few more.
Was he Chinese?
But I would have loved to have.
Oh, yeah.
I should have gone in and I should have just stayed right there. But Dad didn't like him. Dad didn't say that.
Now, Howard came up and he attended, 27, 28?
Now, let's see, Howard. I don't think Howard went to.
He was there one year, I think. So.
I know he played on the basketball team and made the trip to Metro Capital.
Yeah.
And, then he went out the second year and went to pre-med school in Pennsylvania. Right. Then he came into Stanford.
He went to pre-med in Pennsylvania to get
one year in Alaska.
Then he went to.
In those days, they only had 2 years of pre-med. Now they have four. And our office only has five. So the more you know, now to get your shingle out takes 53 years.
Yeah.
But in those days, Howard had 2 years of pre-med, 4 years of Stanford, and then he
went to Europe, didn't he?
No. No, Joe went to Europe. Arbaugh went to Europe. Not Jake, not Howard.
Well, I thought Howard went over to do some little work.
Howard was one of the had a remarkable course in Europe.
But then Howard came back and practiced with your father.
Yes.
And they were practicing together, I know, in the First National Bank building.
Oh, you bet.
When I went there.
Right behind the bank.
Yeah, yeah, when I went there in 37. And your father was still old, quite active.
Oh, yeah, right.
But Howard was the young.
Well, he was chief of staff of Providence after that.
Well, Providence was built while I was there, I think about 38 or 39.
Dad was instrumental in the building of that.
Yeah.
Because, he was mayor of the town, I think.
Yeah, I think he was, yeah. Because after all, the railroad hospital was just getting a little too small, and pretty antiquated too. I shudder. You know, do you remember the ramps they had going up?
Dad built had that ramp built for fire escape.
I know.
Looked like you had one sheet down into the.
That's what they used to tell us. That was the local joke, you know. You'd get into the railroad station and say, "What's that?" They said, "That's the local abattoir." You remember that? And then when they explained it was fire escape, it made sense, a frame building.
And they've never had anything like a fire escape before.
No, I don't think that. No, sure they did. But I looked at that green building and said, no.
It made a point when I first saw it. No, I'm very sorry. I'm about to finish instead. I know it was disappointing for Bunnell because he told me so many.
Korea?
No, not Korea.
We were great friends, Dr. Bunnell and I. Just good friends.
Well, you know, he, one of these, I mean, of course, I was close to him too, you see. Goodness sake, when you read the preface of my book, you'll learn of my first meeting with him, and it was under rather kind of funny circumstances. But at these meetings here that we've had in San Francisco, Palo Alto, we had a meeting night before, three nights ago, and then down at. And the meeting down there at San Diego.
Oh, San Diego.
Yeah, well, I've been down there for the last couple of days. But so many of the everyone I get to, we get a little different sidelight, different story.
Did Colonel Foster ever come to the meetings at all down in San Diego and that area?
No.
He was in the first class of men's school.
Is he still around?
Yeah.
Is that right?
You remember Earl Foster, don't you, Jim?
Even Mrs. Craig Buckler. He doesn't turn out for these things.
I can't find him. There's so many Earl Fosters in the telephone book. I don't know which one we call. You remember. Mrs. Craig
But I don't know his address.
I don't either. But the Clark boys are down there.
Hey, John.
I talked to Warren, you know, was at the meeting.
Warren and Howard were in Stanford together.
He and I just
were there. Yeah, that's right. I remember. I had a nice interview with Warren, and he mentioned going to Stanford. He didn't mention Howard, but were they?
Who can I sell coffee to?
We have passed this on. No, my drive over there. Several summers.
We've got to be 3 years.
40 winters. Several summers.
Experience to understand.
Well, that's so fascinating. You know Carl Dyke.
I have.
And
I know Carl.
Like here.
Yeah, how about you, dear? Art, do you want to play?
Let's pass it around here.
Pardon, if you want.
Yes, please.
Coffee? Thank you. Just black.
Oh.
He loves Brazil. That's the place his mom is at. You know, he's been up to Kodiak this summer and last summer. Looking into.
I don't know. I'm ambidextrous, but I may spill the coffee.
Oh, you're handling that like a lab technician.
I'm a left-handed curve dealer, so there's no telling what I'll do.
Be on the phone a number of times.
Do you drink, does everyone drink coffee at all?
You would not.
We're going to be short for cups if we do. Dr. Bunnell, when we were first in school. The big wing. Yeah, I need a cup there.
But anyway.
Oh, you don't drink.
You may remember that.
His office used to be, right, you came in the front door and had what?
At the head of the stairs.
A little step, it wasn't anything. You're right on the main floor.
Yeah.
In your time, he was on the second floor. But in my time, first, he was on the first floor. He came in the little front entrance and there he was, right?
But he had been called well.
Are there any tea drinkers or decaf or Sanka drinkers?
No, thank you.
Well, he's waiting for tea.
I took a psychology and sociology
from who?
From Dr. Bunnell.
Oh, did he teach those?
He taught social science.
I didn't know that.
And,
in the early years, he used to. I thought the only thing I knew that he taught was law, which he taught for quite a number of years.
Yeah, but I did teach psychology and sociology. And he gave us just an awful time. At least mine was terrible. I was to give an hour's talk on the origin of the human mind. Now, if you want to get into something that you can't make head nor tail, well, that's the thing to do. See, and I worked with the deuce on it. Well, Margaret Leary, she and I laugh about every time we get together. I can't remember what her subject was. But Josephine Harrow was.